Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is the director of Way of Truth Ministry, Elwood Fawn Miller, and we're delighted you have taken the time to tune our way. And we trust that your heart will be blessed and be challenged through the Word of God. If we might be of spiritual help to you, we'd invite you to contact us at WOTBM.org, listed as Message of Truth, and state the need that you have there in spiritual matters, and we'll try to help you in any way we possibly can. So may the Lord bless you as you continue listening to the program as we begin in John chapter 15. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege it's ours to come before thee in prayer. We need your guidance. We need your help. We need your wisdom, your understanding. And Lord, there may be somebody listening who does not know thee as their Savior. I pray they'll come to know thee, whom to know right is life eternal. There may be some that are going through some great adversity, whatever that may be. And I pray you'll meet that need, guide them, and just meet every aspect of that situation, and may you be glorified. We're going to again thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
To of all and may.
Amen. There will always be the love of God. You know, God so loved the world. Number one, he created it. Number two, he sustains it. But number three, he loves the world because he placed you and me in it. And he loves us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son into the world to die for our sin. What a love. There's no way you can express it, but I think they did a beautiful job of it. Certainly trust was a blessing to your heart. Now we're looking at the sixth fruit. And I want you to understand, when we look at these things, there may be others that people will pick up and say, hey, this is a fruit in there. And that may be this. The Word of God is so beautiful. And when I come to this passage, this is one of those chapters that are a wild chapter, you know. It has so much in it. And I love it. I've gone over it and over it and over it. Sort of like Colossians chapter 3. These two chapters are just absolutely superb. And then there are others as well. But like somebody said, every time I read a book of the Bible, that becomes my favorite book. Well, that's sort of like these chapters. But anyway, you understand. The sixth fruit that God wants to see in our life, and God wants you and me to be joyful. Notice what he says in verse 11. This is the Lord speaking. These things, what things? The things about abiding in him. The things about he's being the vine, we're the branches. The things about praying and asking in his name. These things, everything that we talked about ahead of time here. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. It's God, it's the Lord's joy that he wants in us. We don't invent this joy. We don't produce this joy. This joy doesn't come from a great job. This joy does not come from a bumper crop of money in our bank account and in our wallets. This joy comes from a relationship. You know, beloved, I keep thinking of relationships, and this ought to be the joy of a pastor with his people and the people with a pastor. This joy would be that of a husband and a wife. You know, beloved, that doesn't mean that every day you go ha 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 ha, this is a great, I'm so joyful. No. Life is life. But there is a joy of the Lord. In fact, the scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that is true. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's how we can get through the battles. That's how we can get through the circumstances that we face. And so here he says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. And then secondly, that your joy might be full. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you have joy. I give that to you. But now it must be developed. And how can it be developed? By our practicing the Word of God. By our living the Word of God. You see, you come down to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. By the way, that's another fruit. That is another fruit, that we have a love for each other. But you see, we develop that love. You know, I tell people, on my wife and I's third date, I told her, I said, you're the kind of girl I really want to marry. Guess what? I trapped her. We got married. And that's been over 60 years. Why? Well, because I'm so wonderful. Yeah, no, you believe that. And there's a couple other things I can tell you. But very simply, because we determined that we were going to love each other. And there's a greater love today than there was back in 1959 when we got married. Or 1957, or 58 really is when I met her. And, that is, it is a development of love. And love does not end. I'm convinced of this. We can let it get, push it back in a corner, and we can tramp it down, and we can start looking at circumstances. But you know, there's nothing of circumstances in these verses. It is a matter that God's love is in us in the person of Jesus Christ. That happens because we've been born again. And the Spirit of God lives within us. Then secondly, God's love is seen, or that joy is seen, as we love one another. We love the people of God. I know everybody in the church isn't as lovely as you are. Yeah, you believe that one too. No, very simply, we cultivate a love for each other. And that doesn't mean that you're going to run to their house, they're going to come to your house, you're all going to go out and eat at the restaurant and all those kind of things. It has nothing to do with it. You see, joy and love have nothing to do with the things necessarily we do, but it will prompt us to do things. It will prompt us. A love for people will prompt us to want to be of help to them, to want to minister to them. And so the Lord goes on and says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Willing to sacrifice something for someone else. Now, you and I aren't going to be called necessarily to lay down our lives for each other. Someday that may happen, but that's not necessarily the thought here. The thought is this, that the Lord is saying, listen, I'm demonstrating my love for you. I'm going to go to that cross. Now, they're not catching that yet. But he said, I'm going to go to that cross, and I'm going to pay the price for your sin, and I'm going to redeem you through the blood that is shed on that cross. And so the Lord is placing before these disciples of his the fact that this joy that they have of verse 11 manifests itself in a love for people, a sacrificial love. I love to read, and I do this with couples if I'm counseling them in marriage, Ephesians in chapter 5, and look at all the different aspects of love that the Lord presents there through the Apostle Paul. Now let's look at the seventh fruit. The seventh fruit, we have a couple more to go, and so I want to make sure I get them covered in this broadcast. But if you look with me at verse number let's go back to 15. 16 is the verse I want you to look at. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now notice, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That is the first aspect of this seventh fruit. Christ has chosen us. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Christ chose you to bear this fruit for the Lord God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that he would use you and me? We who have sinned, we who have walked astray from God, and he draws us by his blessed Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that in chapter 16. But he draws us by his blessed Holy Spirit, and we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he says, I want you to do this for me. It may not be when he says, he's talking about calling us. It's not necessarily into an active ministry as a pastor, missionary, evangelist, and that kind of thing. Yeah, wherever you're at, you might be. I think of Priscilla works with me here in engineering, but her husband, Hap, dedicated man to the Lord, excellent testimony for the Lord. He was in radio, and he was a perfectionist in radio. And what a great testimony. In fact, he helped engineer stuff for the television from our church. But the thing is, God puts you in a vocation. I used Priscilla here. I can say this. She is one of the secretaries at our church. And there she can manifest this love of God toward others because she is a testimony for his glory. And yes, she is a secretary. You might be a secretary in a corporation. You might be a school teacher in a public school. You might be a principal. You might be a mechanic in a manufacturing place, whatever the case. Auto mechanic, you name it. Car salesman, all the rest of those things, restaurant and all those other things. You might be involved in that, but God's expecting you and me in whatever vocation he allows us to be in to manifest his person. So notice, if you will, he says the seventh thing, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, beloved, that's exactly what he said back in verse 7. If you abide in me, now we're abiding in him, and here we are the called vessel for him. And he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because we're his friends. He has called us that. And then he has called us and ordained us to go forth with the gospel wherever that may be. You may be a student in school, in elementary, in high school, junior high, college, wherever it is. God has called you to be a witness for his glory. Are you that? Well, we'll look at a couple of more things. We're going to look at how it doesn't all seem to work out right. It will, though. It will. Let's listen to a song. Out of God's great love, we have that salvation, and then we have that joy that we just talked about. Well, let's look here, if we may, as we continue on in thinking about not only the joy that he gives to us and that we should manifest to others, but he goes on to show us here that we are the chosen vessels of his. Then in verse 18, something comes up that we don't ever want to talk about. We don't want to think about. If the world hate you. You know, it's interesting that Peter declared in chapter 1 of 1 Peter that the persecution, the trials of our faith are more precious than gold that perisheth. Now, that does not make sense. It isn't supposed to. But it's what God does. It's what God does for us. He allows us to go through the crucible. But the other side is going to be far greater. The other side is going to be that blessing from him. It may not be just in heaven. It's here on this earth he blesses. Notice, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So he says, listen, another fruit is how you come through the persecution, the trial, the testing. And I, as I say, it's been my privilege to be with a good number of people who have gone through governmental or religious persecution in their countries, and they have come through and they bring forth a testimony of God's grace, even though they suffered horrible things. And yet they have a testimony for the Lord. I urge you, dear friend, the Voice of the Martyrs magazine is exceptional. It's sharing with what is going on around the world in what is classified unreached countries, as well as open countries to a measure, but not open to just presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world hated Christ. They despised him. The Jews themselves went about to kill him. And then they'd say, well, who's going about to kill you? Well, they were trying all kind of ways. They tried to throw him over the precipice at Nazareth, and that precipice couldn't take care of Christ because he walked right through the crowd. They tried to do all kind of things against him, and never could they accomplish it. Not until he laid down his life for man. There in that garden, he could have easily said, I could call 10,000 angels, but he didn't do it. Why? Because he was going to go to that cross. The hatred of man was going to nail him to that cross, but unknown to them, or unrealized to them, was the fact that it was their sin, our sin, your sin, my sin, that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. But the world hated him. And he says they're going to hate you. We're going to have to stand up to that. Now, it's in many, many countries of this world. Right now, in America, we have some freedom. But if they are allowed to push through this homosexual and a lesbian and the drug deals and all that kind of stuff, they're allowed to push that through and make it legal. We preachers who dare to stand against ungodliness as a booze business and you name it are going to be faced with, and churches are going to be faced with, a challenge and very possibly prison time because we will not accept the status quo. We will not be politically correct. Well, the Lord said, they're going to persecute you. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know what's going to come. But he says the world will hate us. And that's part of the fruit we bear for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God. He said, remember the word that I said unto you in verse 20. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me. Now look at this phrase. They will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And he goes on to say, if I had not come, they had not had sin, that this particular sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. We have to realize that when man fights against the gospel of Jesus Christ and where they try to silence us from declaring the word of God, we have to understand they hate God. Oh, they might say they love God, but they've got a different God. They've got a different Messiah. They've got a different Lord. But look, if you will, so that we can get time to really deal with this. Notice verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now you see over in verse 26 of chapter 14, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, this is part of that abiding. And as a child of God, we must realize we have the Spirit of God in us. Romans 8 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came to indwell your heart and life. And now God is seeking you and me, those of us who have been born again, to bring forth fruit unto his glory. You see, it is that he might be glorified, not you and I. You and I have the privilege to serve, the privilege to take this word that he has given us, in the power of the Spirit of God whom he has given us, and share it with men and women, boys and girls, that they might be saved. Are you bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, beloved, I pray that you are. Let's be faithful to him. If we can help you spiritually, please give us that privilege. You can write to us by email at wotbm.org and mention Message of Truth, and here is your question, and we will do our best to answer that question, that you might have the spiritual help you need. Father, take the word, use it for your glory in our lives and to all those who have heard, in Jesus' name, amen.